Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. If you were with me on yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at the life of Samson and making a parallel, if you will, with the life of Samson, who he was, and a parallel with much of the church world today. And just for a very brief review, we find that Samson made a life with Delilah, and she persisted in knowing the secret of his great strength. He put her off several times. He told her lies, but eventually, because of her continued harassment, for the sake of bribery money that she was going to receive, that she finally prevailed upon him, and he told her the truth. And of course, the enemies of Israel, she was a Philistine woman, she told the Philistines, and they came in upon him. They took him as captive. They put out his eyes, and he was grinding grain in the prison house. So what a sad end for a hero of Israel that had not only been a judge and delivered Israel, but was an absolutely heroic man of incredible strength and of power in a physical realm. But spiritually, he lacked a great deal of strength because why? He was willing to compromise. He was a man who did not value and see the responsibility that he possessed. And I saw a parallel with today's church world, not just today's world, but throughout the generations, that it's been the weakness in human nature instead of seeing God's divine mission that has been given to us and reverencing the Lord and walking in the fear of the Lord with humility and with a holy fear that we have been given, each one of us, a commission. Each one of us, we've been called as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should serve the Lord with fear and trembling, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because we serve a holy God and we have been given a charge, and we're going to stand before the Lord one day to give account of the deeds done in the body. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say, Lord, I did all that I knew to do. I did the best I could. But let's take a few moments now and let's look at those seven locks in view of the church world today. Verse 19 said that Samson had seven locks, and those locks were cut. So I would just like to suggest to you that one of those locks is the lock of faith. The first lock the church had cut off, if you will, is the lock of dynamic faith. And in so many regards, you know, when I was at Ramah some years ago, I was just astonished to hear how so many of our theological seminaries have so humanized academic training that there's been a humanistic interpretation of everything that we study in Scripture. And it's pervasive in so many of the colleges as well as in the Christian seminaries. If it seems to contradict what our human reasoning can accept, well, just don't accept it. If you can't explain it, don't believe it. Believe it. This may be hard for you to believe, especially if you love God and you're serving Him with all your heart. It's like, how can that be? There are literally people that just, they're professional theologians, if you will, but they deny the virgin birth, they explain miracles away, they simply have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We have ministers standing in pulpits all across America preaching things that would have had them thrown out of their churches just 10 or 15 years ago. The people would have never stood for it. A person is ridiculed, ostracized, if he dares to believe in the inspiration of the Scripture, the whole Word of God. There are those that make fun of that because, you know, it's not really relevant for today. And if one dares to accept the Word of God as the Word of God reads, why, you know, you're just sort of a fanatic. the teaching of humanism has come masquerading in an ecclesiastical gown. This teaching utilizes Christian definition, but it's bereft of the power of God, of scriptural truth. As many modernist preachers say, to them, the Bible is irrelevant for today's complex problems and lifestyles. You know, that's really true. I had a situation recently where I was talking with a friend, and it just amazed me that as they were talking with their pastor, the things that this theologian had to say. I have spiritual friends that I know personally in denominational churches that denomination is being split apart because of the very things I'm talking to you about, the inspiration of Scripture, the interpretation of Scripture. And there are those that are just going the way of the world, the way of what the natural man can explain and can accept, and those who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, those who will believe what the Bible teaches. And there's a divide line being drawn, and it's, you can't straddle the fence. You're on one side or the other. There are those of us who still believe, praise God, in an old-fashioned gospel. When the Bible says hell, it means a literal hell. And when it says heaven, it means heaven. And when it says salvation, it means salvation. The Bible is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But in many arenas, the church, the nominal church, has allowed the clipping shears of modernistic humanism to cut off the lock of faith. This world can never know God, beloved, by human wisdom. This world will never know God by human wisdom. I repeat that again, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're spiritually discerned. Only as we accept God's word and live it, as we accept it with the faith as of a little child, can we be what God desires us to be. So let's go back to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Let's get back to the knowledge of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away our sins. This kind of faith brings results, and believing, we will receive. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Blind unbelief, however, will lead you to destruction. Then let's look at another lock. There's a lock of prayer. The lock of prayer in many cases has been cut off. Now, again, understand, I'm not saying this is true in every place. Thank God there are places that are on fire for God, and prayer is going up round the clock, 24 hours a day. But on the whole, there are many churches that don't pray. Family altars are gone from the homes of a lot of Christians. Fathers don't lead their families in family prayer. They don't set the example, and then they wonder why their children aren't saved. They're weak and unable to serve the Lord. Prayer is not a beautiful, well-form series of sentences, but it's simply the outpouring of your heart. It might seem so simple, but it really touches the heart of God. And it's going to God in prayer and in sincerity of heart and just talking to God as your friend, as your God, and then waiting for God's voice to answer back to you. It's communication. It's fellowship. It's communion. And what do we see in many cases today? Instead of prayer meetings, we have social meetings. We've taken the fire out of the upper room. We've stopped the testimonies and started the rummage sales. We see things that will appeal to the carnal appetite of man instead of the spiritual man. And the lock of prayer has been cut off. Prayer isn't pumped out of the human heart. Prayer is spontaneous. It's natural. It's the cry of the human soul. It praises God because praise is kindled in the heart through prayer. The church must get back to its ministry of prayer. We need intercessors for the kingdom of God as never before. We need intercessors to intercede at the altar for the world and for the body of Christ, for each other. And then the third lock, if you will, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In so many places, we have to admit that it's gone or it's never even been there. One good way to get on the, you know, ministerial council do not fellowship list is just to announce you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I mean, some of you, you know, you've listened for a while and you're just like, is that all really true? It really is. I was talking to a personal friend, and this person loves God, is spirit-filled, has walked with the Lord, and is in a Pentecostal denomination. And this person went to the pastor and just needed to share their heart. They were just being sincere and asking, well, what about, you know, why is it that we don't hear the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues? And remember now, this is a Pentecostal denomination that believes doctrinally in these things in terms of their statement of faith. And do you know what this person was told by the pastor? Well, oh, that would not be permissible in the Sunday morning service. In other words, God couldn't be expected to move in the Sunday service be simply because of the makeup of the constituency of the congregation. It would not be, you know, it might be a little offensive. It would turn people off. And after all, we want to bring people from the community in. They were literally told that. Is that sad or what? You know, in the early church, they believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only did the initial 120 in the upper room receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but multitudes were baptized and spoke in other tongues. You see that all the way through the book of Acts. In those days, they believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. When Peter and John preached just after the healing of the man at the gate beautiful of the temple, 5,000 people knelt in submission and repentance and found Christ as the Savior of their soul. In the days when they believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Lord went with them and confirmed the word with signs and with wonders, and heaven gates were open, and a mighty glorious outpouring of divine power fell on the hearts and lives of multitudes. The trouble in the church, it has been sleeping. The church has had its head in the lap of Delilah, and the shears have cut off the lack of power in the church. Church, you've lost your strength. You've lost your power because you've compromised with the world and with the enemies of the cross. The baptism of the Holy Spirit lack is cut off when the church lays its head in the lap of humanism and lawlessness and unbelief. Well, I wish I had another hour to share with you, but my time is getting away and I must bring this broadcast to a close. And I invite you to tune in tomorrow and we'll look at some of the other locks that the Samson Church has been deprived of. God bless you for your prayer support. In a few moments, the announcer is going to give you our mailing address. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.